So some of you know by now that I'm someone who has enough of a historian in me that I like narratives to kind of go along and make sense, which is why when the lectionary wanted Jesus to be 12 today, and then the wise men to come on next Sunday, that don't work for me. Plus, we're in the year when we get Luke, and why not enjoy all of Luke? Because Luke has more stories about this period than anybody else, for sure, Jesus being small and a baby. So we're going to read the next part of Luke after what we read on Christmas Eve, which is Luke 2, starting with verse 21. After 8 days had passed, it was time to circumcise the child, and he was called Jesus, the name given by the angel before he was conceived in the womb. When the time came for their purification, according to the law of Moses, they brought him up to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every firstborn male shall be designated as holy to the Lord. And they offered a sacrifice according to what is stated in the law, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. Now there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. This man was righteous and devout, looking forward to the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit rested on him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Messiah. Guided by the Spirit, Simeon came into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him what was customary under the law, Simeon took the baby in his arms and praised God, saying, "Master, now you are dismissing your servant in peace according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel." And the child's father and mother were amazed at what was being said about him. Then Simeon blessed them and said to his mother Mary, "This child is destined for the falling and rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be opposed, so that the inner thoughts of many will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your own soul too." There was also a prophetess, Anna, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. She was of great age, having lived with her husband 7 years after her marriage, and then as a widow to the age of 84. She never left the temple, but worshiped there with fasting and prayer night and day. At that moment, she came and began to praise God and to speak about the child and to all who were looking for the redemption of Jerusalem. When they had finished everything required by the law, they returned to Galilee to their own town of Nazareth, and the child grew and became strong, filled with wisdom, and the favor of God was upon him. Now I want to do things a little differently, partly because, well, I just want to. But I knew we wouldn't be a big crowd. I knew it's more intimate and casual in here, so it's a good time to do things a little differently. And it also really struck me that in Luke's gospel that we've been reading, it does not one voice. There are multiple voices giving meaning to what's happening. Think about that a little bit. It starts with the angel Gabriel, then there's Zechariah, then there's Mary and Elizabeth, and then there's the shepherds, and then there's Simeon, Anna. All these different voices responding to what God is doing in these pregnancies and these births and this child, all giving interpretation, as it were, responses of praise and interpretation of what does this mean? So it struck me, this is a good Sunday for the community to speak, not just me to speak, not just one voice. And so I thought, just invite you, One of you shared something with me when I came in the door. What reflections about all this, this time, this Christmas, what reflections maybe have been stirring in you? It might be as simple as, is there a particular line from a particular carol that hit you this year? Or is there a word in this scripture I just read that made you kind of go, One of the things we do in Bible study often is say, what question or what curiosity did hearing the story raise for you today? So I'm inviting you to come to a microphone.
So I'm Lydia. I don't know about you, but the election really hit me. And a turning point into being okay was Debbie's sermon, where she talked about seeing this time on earth from a bird's eye view or a bigger perspective, a longer perspective over millennia, etc. And she talked about the concept or this phrase that sticks with me, that kingdoms rise and fall. And it's become this new mantra for me, that kingdoms rise and fall. And I've been able to internalize that in terms of the surprises that happen in our lives. We think something is built and moving in one direction, and then it changes, and it comes apart, and then something else rises from that. And so, you know, the stories in the Bible do this over and over again, and my life has done this over and over again, as, you know, this week is a time where Elena and my kids are all together for the whole week, and we're building that now, right? It's a rise in this era in our life. And it's because other eras have fallen. And so it's this humbling experience for me to take in the acceptance of the rising and falling, of the death and the birth, over and over and over again, as I'm navigating this thing called life with people I love and people I serve, including you.
Thank you, Lydia.
We're going to jump to Matthew here. It's not Luke. But the Christmas High Holy Days are Christmas Day, the day after, and the day after that. And it's Jesus' birth. The Feast of St. Stephen. First martyr. I'm working on it. Yesterday was the Feast of the Holy Innocents, all the children that were slaughtered by Herod. And as I remembered that, I couldn't help but think of Gaza and the slaughter that's going on there, and it's all the innocent children. So, prayers. Fortunately, Jesus got away.
So what I have to share is doesn't have anything to do with scripture. There was an old movie, and it came out shortly after Marlene and I met, so 40 years ago. And it was about, Sally Field was in it, and it was about, the gist of it was her husband was a sheriff, and I think he got shot by a young black man. And at the end of the movie, which I started bawling over, each of the people who had died over this conflict came back into the church service, one by one. And Christmas Eve, standing in that circle with the candles, I saw all the people that have been in this church since I joined. So it was dark, and I could see you too. But I saw the people that we've lost. And it was, I'm crying, but it was actually joyful.
Thank you, Judy. The movie's place is in the heart. I saw it again recently. I'm not closing it off. I'll add a thought I had that is interesting. Anna praises, but Simeon in his praise also talks about his dying and about that Christ's coming will be both judgment as well as revelation, the rising and falling, and the thoughts of many will be revealed. But just even that you, that both Bruce and Judy in different ways have brought up death. And that somehow our faith, Ellen dying last night, our faith allows us, empowers us to deal with the pain, the suffering and loss of life as well as the good stuff, and to see beyond, right, Judy? You saw beyond. It's a powerful thing. Anybody else?
This is from the little town of Bethlehem, the third line. How silently the wondrous gift is given. So God imparts to human hearts the joys of highest heaven. No ear may hear Christ's coming, but in this world of sin, where meek souls will receive him still, the dear Christ enters in. I often say that I've grown up at this church in terms of my spirituality. But it really, this Christmas for me was a sense of this underlying joy holding firm despite the world's meanness and injustice. And that I can learn to carry that with Christ's relationship.
Thank you, Meg.
Hi, I'm Rebecca Dolch, and I just want to tell one of my favorite stories. It's about a young girl who was at a boarding school, a religious boarding school in another country. And one of her teachers, who was from the UK, had to stay at the boarding school, couldn't go back home for Christmas. And so this young girl lived quite a ways out in a village, you know, miles. And but she decided that she wanted on Christmas Day to go and take a gift to her teacher. And so she just made this little necklace out of a special stone that had meant a lot to her and walked in to the school and gave her the gift. And the teacher said, can I give you a ride home? It's a long way. And she said, no. The walk is part of the gift. And I think that's one reason that I love church community so much, is that even though you might not see everybody and talk to them, you know, three times a week or whatever, you see how people walk through life and deal with things. And you're with them, we're with each other a lot, every week, and sometimes more. And it's just such a gift to see how people walk through this life. Thank you.
Anybody else?
Margie Latham is
her name. Yay, Margie. Oh, all right.
Can you hear me?
Yes, we can.
Oh, okay, cool. Well, the theme of community is running through some of what people have said, and that's kind of what I've been thinking about when I was working on my Christmas cards this year. And I sent a few to folks that I know at First Baptist. Plus, I also got the card that you sent me, so thank you. That was wonderful to receive. I just think we're going to need each other more than ever in the next 4 years. Like Lydia, I am aghast at what is happening politically in our country. And I think we are going to need one another more than ever, First Baptist as a community. And one of the messages that I'm taking from this scripture is that it was the community that recognized Jesus and his importance. And that is going to be our task, to carry out the message of Jesus, to reveal the thoughts of what is in people's hearts, and to be truthful about what is happening. And it won't be easy, but we need one another to do this. So I thank you for being my community.
We heard that. And we thank you and others who make the effort to be part of our community, even though you don't get all the goodies, literal goodies like coffee and things and the hugs and all that on a regular basis. We appreciate that you're part of us. Josie?
Like
Louise, did you want to say something? Your turn. Go for it.
Shocking and always quite, a lot of depressing things. I think what this whole Advent season has brought home to me and given voice to is making our journey together not out of constant reaction and fear, which is so enervating. It's just so draining, it's so depressing, and it's just like, ugh. But looking, creating, I think that, you know, the whole story gives us a life path, a path with life shared going forward, based in a different kind of joy and groundedness that is really just, to me, the clarion message. And I think, I don't know, it's a different feeling. And I'm hoping we can all really bring that forth. It's not to deny or put aside our reactions to the horror stories around us, but to have a confidence and a lack of fear, as you said so often, Debbie, to go forward and find our joy and to share that joy. Thank you.
Thank you, Louise. Josie?
This sense of community that we've been talking about this morning is really ever present to me, and it's really shown up a lot in the last couple of weeks. About a brief story, about 10 or 15 years ago, I joined a group of about 20 speech-language pathologists in America who were specializing in trans voice care. Now there are over 1,000 of us. 1,000 vocalists here and in Australia and in the United Kingdom, England. And this past week, out of the blue, two very young and cute, they're 20, 21 years old, found me through the network, and they needed voice-affirming care.
And I was able to connect them. You talk about community. I was able to connect them to people that are doing the work right now, and they were accepted with open arms. And so to be a part of this community here, being able to share these words with you this morning, and to honor people that I've never met and probably never will, but to hold the community in our heart. And this is the sense of the opportunity that's available to us to create community everywhere we go, and in love, and not fear, just as Louise was saying. Thanks a lot. I hope I didn't ruin the microphone here.
You're good. Yes. Anyone else? A word, Anne?
So I love the Christmas carol, "Lo, How a Rose Air Blooming." I think it's unfortunate our hymn book doesn't have the third verse, which is the best verse. In the last few words of our, "From sin and death, he saves us and lightens every load." And so for a year that's been hard, I'm with you. I was devastated by the election. I've been devastated by some things happening with the family, with some health things, etc. And that he lightens every load. What a blessing. Just to really just say, "Jesus, lighten this load. Lighten this load."
Hi, I'm Hope Decker. And most of you, I think, know that I came from a very conservative church background. So my religious tradition is so different from what I experience here. And so I notice things. I notice the slow way that people come up to the microphone, which is not efficient. It's not capitalistic. And it's beautiful. And I have been pondering abundance and scarcity and the humble way that Jesus came. And it's really struck me that it's so different than a prosperity gospel and Christian nationalism, which emphasizes Jesus coming back in power. And I often heard, "Jesus came as a lamb, but he's coming back as a lion." And what that does to the psyche, how you treat your neighbor, and how you view God and life as something to extract and take and keep, and its resources are scarce, so you want to hoard. And I realized as I was questioning my previous faith tradition, it started with that notion of scarcity, like we're hoarding. Why are we hoarding? That's not the way of Jesus. And that was, so all of these things I'm just pondering. And I was really reluctant to come up and share because I don't have a fully formed thought, but I just wanted to share how grateful I am to be here and to be able to experience faith with you all. So thank you.
Thank you, Hope. We're glad you're here.
Thank you.
Yeah. I love you saying it's not efficient the way we come up to the microphone. Because what strikes me about a time like this is that when you're really a community that trusts each other, you can trust silence. And you don't have to feel anxious if somebody doesn't have anything to say for them, you know? It's okay. And I experienced that different times in adult education conversations or in Bible study and now here that, you know, being together is or more important than the words. But that was, we can trust just being with each other until it's time to say something. Anybody else?
One more word, I guess, that I comment on this actual text is the recognition that Simeon, this very devout, righteous Jew, waiting all his life, clearly elderly, had been waiting, he and Anna, they had been waiting all their lives for the Messiah. And yet the words he says are also about all the world, the Gentiles. It's not just for us, it's for the world. But he recognizes that this is a light for revelation to the Gentiles, not just to his Jewish people. So again, the expansiveness, right? It's not something you hold. It's not something you decide who can have it and who can't. It's expansive, it's broad, it's for everyone who will open themselves. It's beautiful.